connected to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans! Welcome to the Sword Art Online 2 recap show. Today we are talking about episode 22, The End of the Journey. Oh.
This episode, I swear.
I would say, how are y'all doing tonight? But, dear God!
I'm not sure if I'm sad or angry. I think I'm mostly just kind of ticked off at it.
Feelings? There are lots of feelings involved. Anyway.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, you have no soul.
We will talk about that in a minute. Let me go ahead and introduce the panel. Starting on over on that side, Tari Miller.
Sono Tori da.
I don't know what that means, but
it's correct.
I was going to say it's probably sad. Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
We've got Stephen Lemieux on the ones and twos.
Evidently quacking like a duck.
And I am your host, Megan Salinas. Liz Rishmawi can't be here again today. She was having car trouble. But we wish her all the best, and she should be here next week. So here's hoping we'll keep our fingers crossed for that.
Tweet her your well wishes.
Exactly. And we'll throw out her Twitter handle at the end of the show. Okay, guys. Let's go ahead and talk about this. Again, feelings. So many feelings.
It's what they call sadness porn. Where you sit there and watch it, and it makes you sad, but nothing really comes of it. It's like the song The Christmas Shoes. It is deliberately messing with your emotions just to make you feel things, but there's no end result. So that's how I felt about this episode. It was straight up sadness porn, and while it explained the mysteries and what had been going on, it wasn't exactly useful aside from the audience is now crying. The last minute was the best part.
Well, I beg to differ, though. I would say that though it was a lot of, like, piled-on sadness, like, I mean, this is people's...
Oh, Stephen, why? Stephen, why?
I just came from a cat shelter. Oh. And let me tell you, the cats are a lot happier there than they are in this video.
I would imagine.
I have a happy shelter.
Poor Yuki. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
Feelings. For me, I felt like this kind of story, though it is like sadness porn, it's also some people's actual stories. Like, some people have lived a life like this.
True.
And so I feel like, and I thought that, like, though it was like a constant steady piling on, it was also at the end you get this feeling like, even though she's gone through so much, she still is able to experience these things and make friends like Asuna. And so I thought that was a good thing about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say I disagree with you, Katie, as well, because I actually, like, first of all, I'm going to have to say, Tari, I'm going to have to throw you off this panel because you need to stop being right.
Sorry.
You're right about Shinkawa. You're right about the sleeping knights. I need to throw you off of this panel because you're making me look bad by comparison.
All right, I'll keep
Tari,
going with
muted.
Tari Miller is no longer available.
He's not on the panel anymore.
Oh, God.
But no, you were absolutely right about this, and I agree, because even though it was sad and even though it was melodrama, and obviously they're doing it deliberately and they're manipulating us, that's all of television, I kind of like the idea behind this, in that you have a group of people who are terminally ill, and they're still able to go on adventures together, because being full dive members now of, you know, the system, this is their life. They go in and they can have all these larger than life adventures because that is their experience. And I kind of like that. It's bittersweet, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still have a lot of feelings.
I do like the idea of the guild. I think that was well done. I just everything with the exception of Yuki actually talking to Asuna at the end there was just like doom, gloom, and sadness. And then Yuki was like, no, we cool. Like, okay, I guess we're cool.
No, I knew they felt a little like too much like the Moonlit Black Cats. I knew it. No, I knew it was coming.
I did just get their guild name, though.
The Sleeping Knights.
Yes, yeah. It all makes sense now.
Someone had commented on a few videos ago that the name Sleeping Knights would make sense in a couple episodes, and that does indeed make sense. So, all right, we've talked about feelings, all sorts of feelings. Let's go ahead and get into the episode. So we open up with Asuna and Tsuyune having this conversation because Asuna hasn't been able to get a hold of Yuki for 3 days. It looks like she hasn't been logging in. She keeps messaging her and isn't getting any answer. And Tsuyune is like, hey, we're sorry, but you should probably, you know, just forget about us at this point. And again, I understand their mentality behind the thing, and I understand wanting to protect Asuna from the truth, but they're doing way more harm than good by keeping it from her.
Ignore me! No, we can't at this point.
Yeah, I understand, but it's just really frustrating because it's like you're only being vague so that the audience can sit and cringe about what they think is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Again, it's emotional manipulation on a story level.
Yeah, that's
true. I get it from a character level, and it makes sense on a character level. On a story level, I'm kind of ticked off that they went this route for the entire episode.
Fair enough. But we have you know, CNA log out, and then we cut to Asuna going back to the real world, and we see her pass by her mother and her father at breakfast. And so then literally walk by and not acknowledge it. She acknowledges it for a moment and then keeps going. And to me, that was a audience. Don't forget about that plot point, because that is a plot point that has not been resolved yet. True. We'll come back to it later. We're ignoring it for now.
Just, I literally can't even right now. I'm going to go deal with this.
Don't even talk to me.
I will talk about my real life trauma later. Right now, I got to deal with my make-believe world trauma.
But, I mean, again, this is a very sad episode, but I did get a little bit of a chuckle out of that.
Just like, nope.
Don't forget about it. Anyway, so she goes to school, and we have Celica and Liz being like, hey, we heard you joined a guild. What's that like?
Well, awkward. They all abandoned me, and...
I do kind of find it interesting, though, that they refer to themselves by their SAO names. So I thought that was kind of funny, because they were calling Liz, as opposed to Rika. I think her name is Rika, right?
Yeah.
Well, one, that's how the audience knows them, and two, that's how they met. I have friends where I still call them by online handles because I met them online long before I met them in real life.
There you go.
Yeah, and they spend more time in the virtual world than they do in real life, so it's easier. Because we, as individuals, still call Kirito as opposed
to
Kirigaya Kazuto.
I have trouble calling him Kazuto because Kirito, you know, that just got ingrained.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they ingrain it for 14 episodes. It's like, oh, you have a different name. Really?
In the same way that I'm more accustomed to calling Sinon rather than Asada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. It's like, oh, it's every person has an alter ego. Does Klein have a real name?
Klein. The moral is pick a good online moniker because you will be stuck with it.
There you go. Ah, I'm the Menguin, by the way.
Yeah, I'm Kia.
I should have thought that through. Anyway,
no,
so
it was glorious.
Anyway, so she gets a message from Kirito, and we get a scene that is in, like, every high school anime, which I never thought I would see it in Sword Art Online. They have a rooftop high school scene.
It's Sword Art Online High!
It is! I have to ask, is this a thing in Japanese schools? Do they actually allow their students to go up on the roof? Because I feel like every single series that takes place at a high school or has students who are in high school or middle school or anything like that, I feel like there's always a scene with two students talking on the roof. And I was like, I don't know about you guys, But my school's never let us up on the roof. That was always a no-no.
Roof access is protagonists only.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is that it's always only them. Like, I would love to see an anime where someone goes up to the roof to have a dramatic conversation, and there's already tons of other people there having their own dramatic conversations, because that's like, the place to go.
I feel like that would happen, like, or on Host Club or something.
Yeah. Like, they would be the ones to look at that trope and go, nah.
I don't know about the manga, but even the anime, I feel like, probably did that at one point.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Everyone does.
Anyway. But yeah, why hasn't that happened yet? Sorry. I didn't know you guys were having your dramatic character-driven moment. I'll go somewhere else.
Wait,
sorry.
Is it every Tuesday?
Go to the school?
Like, is it Tuesday?
Do you have...
Oh, I didn't realize Tuesday. I thought it was Wednesday. Wednesday's my day up here. Okay, yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
Do you have to reserve it like it's a conference room at work or something?
Yes. Yes. Totally.
I'm sorry. I'm having last-minute drama. Is it okay if I take the early slot and you come in at sunset?
Yeah, sunset works really well for my issues.
I don't know. When's the wind picking up? Because it has to be really windy when I'm up there.
You like the long coat, don't you?
Long hair. I'm wearing this really sweet long coat. It's got a flap in the wind for drama. You know.
Makes sense.
I want this now. Darn it.
Someone please give that to us. Anyway, so, but very interesting is we have Kirito working on something with Yuki. He's trying to kind of develop a visual interface with her because he's got a camera and he's got his laptop and he's trying to set it up so that Yuki, I think, can sort of have real-world experiences, or at least can better communicate with them on the go via this little mobile camera.
Well, he was working on that since last arc when he had all the cameras set up in the Dicey Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it looks like he wants to keep working on it, again, in multiple locations, not just in one locale. I love Yuki. She's Yui. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yuki too.
Lots of you names in this
you
series.
You people.
I love Yui. She's adorable. But this is very borderline Skynet.
Yes.
Kirito is going to bring about the Terminator apocalypse, and I'm not a fan.
And it will be moe and adorable.
It will. It will be so cute as she destroys mankind.
Come with me if you want to live.
It's basic foreshadowing, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they talk about, what if this technology existed? Ha ha, dream world, am I right?
But they were working with that technology at the end of the previous arc. This is something that Kirito's been doing since before we even knew who Yuki was.
Right.
So I do like that they've laid the groundwork and that they're actually picking it up.
Yeah.
Unlike in the first season where they laid a bunch of groundwork and then just kind of left it there on the ground.
Yeah, and like, it didn't necessarily go anywhere. Speaking of laying groundwork and not really going anywhere, I do kind of want to talk about the lack of a big bad in this final arc. But before we go on with the rest of the episode, because we have the first arc, we know Kayaba Akihiko, we don't know what became of him, but we have a feeling that he's, you know, behind the scenes somewhere pulling the
dance
strings.
Dance puppets dance.
Exactly. The second arc, we have freaking Sugo laughing maniacally, you know,
in
over
episode one.
Yeah,
like,
laughing
oh,
maniacally.
You're the villain.
So
gotcha.
We obviously know he's the big bad. We know he's lurking somewhere. The first arc of this series, we have Death Gun lurking in the shadows, murdering people. So obviously he's a big bad to contend with. Here, and you know, I'm not counting the Excalibur arc because they're whatever.
It was glorious,
but it was great. But you know, again, no big bad. It was just kind of like, okay, the game.
Yeah.
There's no big bad in this arc. It's just character driven emotion, and I think that's a very interesting but different approach to SAO. And I wanted to get your guys' take on that.
I actually like it a lot more. Because I feel like it leaves a lot of room for us to get attached to these characters. Whereas, like, when they have a big bad, we've seen that they're always super duper, like, plot oriented. So it's like, this needs to happen in order for this team to happen, and this happens. Alright, cool. We're done. Big bad's dead. But this one, it's like, we get to spend time and, like, really invest in Asuna, her home and online life. And, like, I feel like we wouldn't get that if there were a single big bad.
I'm with you on that one. And I think this is also working with the difference between Kirito and Asuna's characters, because Kirito is the hero, is the take-a-shot shonen protagonist. He needs to have the bad guy to fight against, because this is how his stories always go. He's the big damn hero, he's gonna come in and save the day and get the girl and whatever, whatever. We've seen it a billion times. We've seen it three times in his series. Asuna doesn't need to do that. She doesn't need to prove herself. She doesn't need to run in and save everyone. She's not wired like he is. And he works that way because battle maniac, addicted to games, whatever, whatever. It's Kirito. Asuna works better on that interpersonal level. So we don't need to set up some big bad guy for her to knock down. That's not how her stories go. That's not her as a character. She'd be more than capable of doing it. But she doesn't have to. Kirito kind of has to. Even when he appears in this arc, it's to show up and fight people. Because that's how he works. So it's a nice change having a character who doesn't need that three-act, here's the big bad, here's our focus structure, and instead can just go with, oh, people. Let's talk to the people. Let's work with things. She's better with the side quest and world building aspects of an MMO, whereas Kirito just wants to do the main quest, slay the dragon, and be done with it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very interesting that you brought up saving people, too, because this whole thing is completely different from everything we've seen in Sword Art Online before.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are characters that cannot be saved. And that brings a whole nother level of drama because, again, these are characters, Asuna included, who go in, and that's exactly what they do. They fight until they win and overcome any obstacle that's in front of them. And you can't do that here. You can't save these people by going in and fighting a monster, unfortunately.
Their death game is real life.
Aww.
Wow.
I just made it worse! Winner!
Anyway.
I think I will be leaving the panel now.
Goodbye. Okay.
Gee, and that accused you of not having a soul. I think I just took over that mantle.
I think I need a little something for this coffee if we're going to keep talking about stuff. I think
I need some Jack for my Coke.
Jeez, yeah. All right, on that lovely note... I want to.
You know you love me. You missed me last week. You know you did.
We did.
Yes,
we did.
Indeed.
It was. Yeah. We.
It
do.
Wasn't awful enough.
And we miss Liz too. Come back, Liz.
Liz.
But before we go on, I do want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes, folks. Thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and comment. It really means the world to us. And actually, I've never done this before. But I actually have a phone now.
It's something new.
It's something new. I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to everybody who has commented on iTunes thus far because it really means the world to us. The people here at AfterBuzz work over they produce over 80 hours of content a week for you for free, which means they work behind the scenes 90 hours a week to bring you these shows. And commenting and rating on iTunes is the best way to show to them that you like this show and that helps us get sponsored. Sponsors, helps us keep the lights on, it helps us get guests. It's really the best way to let them know. And we love hearing from everybody on YouTube too. Hopefully before the season's out, we'll be able to like bring up some YouTube names and give shout outs to you guys too, because we love talking to you guys on YouTube.
You guys are smart. Yeah. And you're really good at not spoiling us for the most part.
We really appreciate that. So without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and shout out to everybody who has commented on iTunes. Inuyasha Boy 1981 commented, awesome show. Jason O 17, wonderful podcast. Durfee, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. Durfee wrote, love it. Thank you. By Hart, Kloss, and Damon. Anime on AfterBuzz, no way. Kaze 369. Great show with great host is River Dragon 83. Go Team Anime on AfterBuzz TV by Proper _ T. Love the show by Blink 16226. Great podcast by Ronnie 5C. Awesome by Tales of Gaming. Love it by Chibi Christie. Yeah, Anime After Shows by Mara J. Sky. Awesome podcast by Cup Matt 27. Thank you. All of you guys commented, and you guys had nothing but really wonderful, sweet things to say, and it honestly warms our heart to hear all of that. So thank you, guys, and we would love to hear from more of you because, again, it's the best way to let our bosses know that you like the Sword Art Online After Show, and hopefully we can come back, hopefully, if they do Sword Art Online 3.
Yeah. I think there are more light novels on the thing, so
I want it, especially after how good Sword Art Online 2 has been.
Yeah. I know we got past the awful parts, and now it's been really good.
It really has been.
I'm scared at how invested I am now.
I know, right? It's crazy. But do you guys have anything else to say to the wonderful people who comment every week?
You are good people, and people say nice things about you.
Totes.
And if they don't, they should start.
Yeah. No, yeah. You guys are great. Though you haven't spoiled us, you've spoiled us with your kindness. And
aww.
I really appreciate it.
Well said. Thank you. I like that. All right.
Well, merry holiday to you, too. Whatever holiday you celebrate. Celebrate all of them. Have good ones.
All right, let's get back to this. So, Kirito and Asuna are talking on the roof, and he gives her the name of a hospital, and he's like, if you're looking for Yuki, this is probably the best place. And she's like, why here? And he's like, because it's the only place, it's the only hospital near here that is currently researching, and I apologize if I butcher the pronunciation on this. Medicuboid?
Yeah.
Yes!
Medicuboid.
And you'll never be able to get it out of your head.
If you want me to change it, I can always go back to Tom's Diner.
No! No! I'm putting a stop to that right now. Anyway.
Then we'll stay with Manamana.
But that is, it's a weird thing. It's not explained. I had no idea what it was a reference to. And I'll be honest, I'm not a doctor. So I was like, is this a medical term that I'm not familiar with?
This is awesome to just dating a total tech geek.
Right.
Yeah, and
it
the
happens.
Only
they
reason.
Speak different languages sometimes.
And again, it makes sense because the only reason anybody would have been able to find out Yuki's secret is if they are, definitely avidly researching the virtual world and the technology that is progressing with all of that. And Kirito wants his career to be on the forefront of all that. He wants to create something. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that he would be able to recognize it.
And they've been testing it for, they said, 3 years. So there's 3 years worth of research materials. This is not an unknown quantity if you're looking for it. It's probably just unknown publicly.
Yeah, right. It's just something that, you know, if you're researching medical journals and or, you know, these very niche technical journals, you would probably come across it. It's just like, oh, there's a paper on this new thing. But if you're in the general public, you're not going to see it in the news or anything like that.
It's in that not Venn diagram of, like, medical stuff and virtual world.
Yeah.
Not unless something goes horribly, horribly wrong or extremely right. You're only going to hear about it in the general news media if it's an extreme.
Yeah, because I imagine the only thing on the news that would be reported about in terms of, like, the big virtual world stuff is all the stuff that does go horribly wrong, like the nerve gear trapping people in SAO for 2 years.
What happens when you put jerks in charge?
Jerks in charge. I even wonder if
that whole incident caused a lot of debate about this type of treatment, too, because I could definitely see the nerve gear incident causing programs like these to get their funding cut.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
But she was diving at the same time that they were, just not connected to the Sword Art Online network. So she was also working with a modified nerve gear prototype.
That's true. Well, we're getting into the technical aspect of the Medicuboid. We should probably talk a little bit about Yuki's condition before we go in before that, because Asuna shows up at the hospital, and when she drops that word, they know instantly who she's looking for and what she's talking about, and they fetch the doctor right away because
I loved her talking with the receptionist. I'm looking for, she might be like 14, and I don't know her name, but it might be Yuki. Well, that doesn't really help. She's also in this really high-tech, space-age, futuristic technology.
Oh.
I know the one!
Oh, that one.
That one. Third floor, second door on your right. You can't miss it.
But they call in the doctor, and this is, I think, what you were talking about, Katie, in terms of just all the exposition with all the drama, because we have the doctor explaining Yuki's story. And I was explaining it to somebody out here, is that it started off with a C-section that didn't necessarily go right when she was first born, and it just snowballed from there. It's just a tragic story, because she had a blood transfusion. And it turns out that
It was infected,
and they don't drop the name for a little bit, but Yuki and her entire family got infected with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me was like, seriously? That's your big scare virus is AIDS? I thought we were doing better than that. Oh, it's a very drug-resistant strain, and her immune system tanked pretty badly. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because just AIDS is scary. It's like, this isn't the 80s. We got past this, guys. Come on. Then, okay.
Yeah, okay. No, that was the thing that kind of confused me a little bit. Because, yes, AIDS is, you know,
a very serious disease.
It is a very serious disease. But it's not highly contagious like the flu. There are very specific things you have to do in order to get infected with AIDS.
It's like people losing their noise over Ebola.
Yeah, exactly.
More people have been married to Kardashians in this country than have gotten Ebola in the United States. Think about that statistic for a while.
Ebola has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, the more you know.
The more you know.
Knowing is half the battle.
Contagious diseases, panic, etc. It's not the 80s anymore. We're not freaked out about AIDS in the way that we were freaked out about Ebola this past year.
Yeah. Right. I mean, though we're not freaked out about it, it's like HIV is still a very, you know, prevalent thing.
And
it's like, it's still a, though my issue was how the family got it.
Because he didn't exactly say, because he was talking about a blood disease and that somehow they were all infected. And again, maybe it was a translation thing, but I was having trouble kind of figuring out how they were infected by association.
Right.
I understand maybe the mother also needing a transfusion because of the C-section and then getting the father getting the sexually transmitted disease because of the mother is infected with it.
But
I understand
what about
that.
Her older sister?
That is what didn't necessarily make sense to me.
Then again, it is bodily fluid swap, and if you're not being careful and the sister accidentally touched infected blood or whatnot, I can see it happening.
Yeah, it's
if they didn't know to be careful, if they didn't know that this was the situation and the sister was very young. It sucks, and I can see it happening.
Right.
Yeah. I wish they'd told us how.
And maybe they go into more details in the light novels, or maybe there were, you know, details in there and something just gets lost in translation, because that happens sometimes, that they're, you know, when they translate things into English for the subtitles, sometimes things get lost in translation. So that might have happened too, but it was kind of very vague how the family got infected. Point being is that the entire family was infected. Yuki's mother became very depressed and was contemplating a group suicide for a little bit. And Yuki decided to keep fighting instead, and she volunteered for the system after the doctor made the proposal to use this type of treatment. And
well, she was doing okay until what, fourth grade?
And when
and
her immune,
that's
system,
when her immune
tanked.
System tanked.
Yeah, and he made the proposal because the interesting thing about this Medicuboid system is that it has the capacity to dull external pain, which is something we haven't seen from any of these type of VR systems yet.
I can understand why, though, because it also disables your motor functions while you're wearing it.
Yeah.
No, so it's definitely been a possibility this entire time, and especially, you know, in the previous arc where we have freaking mind control going
Talk
into
about
it.
Talk about groundwork that didn't go anywhere.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That
anyway.
That went nowhere, series.
Stay in the ground. Come on.
You could have done so much. Anyway.
We could have had it all.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about wasted potential. We're here to talk about how sad this is. Because it was sad.
Yes.
That's all we really talk about in this series, is either wasted potential or feels, with the occasional, that was amazing.
With the occasional, what a pretty fight.
Right.
Yeah.
But this was heartbreaking to watch. But at the same time, it was kind of interesting because we were talking about this last week of using virtual reality. And it's something that, you know, is being talked about now in the medical field, is using technology, obviously, as kind of forms of treatment. And I like the idea, again, like we said before, of using virtual reality as a way to kind of treat people who are paraplegic or who have terminal illnesses of some kind. And that's exactly what the doctor says, is that this type of treatment is for its terminal care.
Yeah.
Well, so they needed volunteers who would be willing to test what the effects of the full body magnets would be. So terminal care patients were like, sure.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
I mean, and it was hard to get volunteers after people got their brains fried by additional electromagnetics. So having an even bigger electromagnet attached to your body seemed like a terrible idea at the time.
But. Yeah. Thank you, Kayaba Akihiko, for screwing it up for literally everyone.
Kayaba.
You jerk. I feel like we should queue up Jerk of the Week.
Yeah. Just like, you could have... Kayabe, you were so wrapped up in creating your own little fantasy world that you didn't bother to donate any time or effort to the medical implications of what could have done. Anyway,
well, of course not. He wanted to be the god of his new world.
Dance, puppets, dance.
That's a different anime. But
I
want to
play! I just want to play with swords and stuff. Kayabe. Anyway... I still find him interesting. It's just like when you have stuff like this, you know, that your technology is capable of, grow up, man.
He's incredibly intriguing, but also incredibly single-minded and selfish. And that's what makes him such an interesting villain, because he's not like, I'm going to murder people and control minds and yada, yada, yada. He's like, I'm going to make this world and populate it. And y'all are going to live in my world, and I'm going to play with you, and it'll be really cool.
Yeah.
He just... Also, don't die.
It's not that he doesn't know that people will die. It's that it's not high on the priority list.
Yeah, no.
Whereas Sugo was just like...
Yeah,
I don't
again,
care.
He was too busy laughing evilly and fixing fixing his pretty elf hair, but... Anyway,
neutral evil versus chaotic neutral.
We do have Yuki calling out to Asuna because she's able to watch this conversation. Which I really loved the imagery that they used here, because they have, you know, her little virtual world set up, and they just have her curled up in the fetal position, watching, you know, through the camera lens what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful image and very sad. And, you know, she's calling out to Asuna, like, look, you don't have to feel... Like, this is why, you know, we didn't want to keep going with the guild. And she asks Asuna to go ahead and meet her in the virtual world, which is, you know, she can access AOL... or A-L-O. AOL is something completely different. Yeah, that dial-up that we haven't had to use for God knows how long.
What's your
Hallelujah. But, I still use AIM. AIM is great.
AIM is
terrible.
AIM is fine, but yeah, who uses A-L-O and AOL? I don't know anymore! Moving on, so Asuna...
internet.
Who uses the nets?
Asuna logs on to Alpine Online. Oh, Lord. Anyway, I need more coffee. I've been up since 6:30, guys. Cut me some slack.
Cut me a slack.
I was going to say cut me some breaks, but that's not right either. Anyway.
Don't do that, guys. Don't do it. No,
we don't need anyone else with car trouble.
Guys, let's go. Anyway, so Asuna logs in, and they meet over at the tree where Zekin, you know, was challenging people. And that's where Yuki goes, it's okay, you know, this is, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to offend you when we said we were planning to disband. Because actually, they're all terminal patients, mm-hmm. and they've already actually lost 3 of their members. And they were
including her older sister.
Who was mm-hmm. the leader and founder of the guild. and and they didn't want, they were planning on disbanding because two of them, and she didn't specify which ones, but two of them have, you know, basically about 2 or 3 months left to live. Mm-hmm. And so they were just planning on disbanding after this one big adventure so that they would have a story. The way she kind of put it, a story to brag about, you know, when she goes to meet her big sister, basically.
Right.
Which is beautiful and tragic and all sorts of sad. But Asuna, you know, even though Yuki is content, Asuna is not, and which is very understandable. She's pleading with her. There has to be something you still want to do, because Asuna, now being her friend, is having a really hard time just accepting the fact that her friend is going to die. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very human reaction. It's a very natural reaction. Although part of me was like, honey, she's content. Please don't make it worse.
Just let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
But channel your inner Elsa and just let it go.
But she does go, well, I think I would like to go to school, which in and of itself, it's so heartbreaking, because that's a very real thing for sick people. They just want to do normal things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's like, I would kind of like to go to school, but, you know, it's all right. I'm fine. You know, I'm happy. And the episode ends with Asuna going, I think there's a way. And
using Kirito's technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can go to SAO High with us.
Yay! So, I guess we have a couple minutes. I think we can talk about predictions really quick.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I love that light show.
Yeah.
I do.
I don't know if we have one episode left or two episodes. I want to say two. I'm hoping we have two. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I'm selfishly hoping it's one, because I won't be there for the second one if there's two.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But yeah, we definitely have at least one episode left. I'm hoping there's two. But I agree with you, Katie. I think that they're going to use Kirito's technology to allow Yuki to go to school.
Yeah.
And then the other plot thread that we still have to tie up is Asuna and the relationship with her mom. I don't
even know how they're going to handle that. I keep looking at it like, this could go so many ways. She could wind up running away from home. She could have an actual conversation with her mom and help her understand, along with dad. Dad might not even want to be involved with this. Brother could show up. Who knows if that'll happen? I have no idea where this one's going to go. I don't have a clue.
I'm assuming that she'll take this newfound strength that she's got from Yuki to kind of talk to her mom. I'm hoping that she takes her mom into the virtual world so that, like, she can, they can share that experience and she can understand why she enjoys being there so much.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see that happening. I actually keep going back to the line that Yuki was saying, there are some things you can't communicate unless you clash. I think that she's going to have it out with her mom. I think it's going to be an argument. And that is going to be the end with everything that's happening with Yuki. I think that Asuna emotionally is going to get to the point where she just explodes at her mom. And that's the only way she's going to get her mom to listen to her. Whether or not that's the right option, who can say?
Sometimes right. The only option is the nuclear option.
Sometimes that is the only way to get people to listen. Whether or not it'll be effective is something entirely different.
Yeah.
So that basically wraps it up for this week.
I have one more thing to say to kind of go on the sadness porn thing. I think now that I've kind of worked with my thoughts here and not watching this at 11:30 p.m. after a long day, I think it seemed emotionally manipulative because we have the doctor telling it, and from the outside it's, here's this tragedy, it's very sad that this happened to her, oh how sad. And when we finally get Yuki talking about it, she's like, no, you know, it sucked, life was pretty hard, and I really miss my sister, but it's been cool. We did these cool things, I met these awesome people. It was better to get the point of view of the person actually living it. Whereas it felt more like narrative, I'm going to make you sad now, audience, when it came from the outside.
Well, that's always been a big flaw with Sword Art Online. It's always had a problem with tell not showing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Again, really good visual medium does show, don't tell.
Yes.
But Sword Art Online always has a problem with a lot of exposition. And so that is something I've come to accept from this series.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it as much. Yeah. And I think also we knew just sadness was going to be coming because we had people, you know, tweeting at us to get our tissues ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things
thanks,
like
guys.
That.
Yeah.
But,
it's like, are you ready to cry? No, but I'm going to anyway, aren't I?
Which, I didn't cry. I'm actually quite proud of myself.
I did a little bit of yelling at the screen. I don't know if you heard that. There was a lot of, what?
No, I didn't. But yeah, it's again, it's...
You cried?
Maybe.
Oh, baby!
They're there.
Sad, guys.
Would you like a hug?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, so again, that is a problem that's been inherent with Sword Art Online from the beginning.
Yeah.
I hope that if they do a Sword Art Online 3, that's something that gets addressed. And maybe that's just a problem with, you know, taking an adaptation from a book. Maybe that's something that they can address in Sword Art Online 3. Because for all intents and purposes, Sword Art Online 2 has been phenomenal.
Yes.
So.
My gosh, yes, can we get more of
not
this?
Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because there's definitely still a lot of things that we can nitpick at, mm-hmm. point at, and go, that is stupid.
Did we really need that shot? Did we really need that series?
The
come
answer
on,
was
on.
No.
No, series. Move the camera.
But for the most part, Sword Art Online 2 has been absolutely fantastic, especially
oh, yeah.
in comparison to the original show.
And we got virtual reality Scream. It was great.
It was amazing.
Do you like MMOs?
All right. Well, we are going to have to wrap up, guys. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this week's episode?
Good episode. Nice and sad. Bittersweet.
I just want to see what happens next week. The like I said, the last few minutes of this episode were the best.
Agreed. All right. Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and now Instagram at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I'm also on the Z Nation panel up next with its season finale.
Woo! Steven!
You can find Steven in the booth.
We'll bookend it with that.
Quack.
You can follow Liz at Lizzie Maui on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's TheMenguin. Hopefully, again, we will have the band back together for next week. Hopefully, everybody will be here. And hopefully, we have two more episodes. We'll keep our fingers crossed, but we have no idea. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We will see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.